Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You are the one who is speaking, not from their own interpretation people spoke, but by the Holy Spirit. We pray for your speaking through the Spirit. We pray that we would have a heart where your word can enter in, that you give us an ear to hear your voice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. It is wonderful. If you see this picture that we saw this morning in the meeting this morning, the purpose with us men, it is really amazing. It really impressed me. Yeah, the scientists, they calculate with light years. It's how far the universe goes. You cannot imagine. But the Lord, it's His calling that we would rule with Him. What is man? Yeah, if you see this purpose with which the Lord has given us over this earth, yeah, it's wonderful. The angels back then, they were also about to rule, but they rebelled, and God had to judge the whole creation. And us men, we are not qualified, not capable to rule over this creation. This is in our condition, in our weakness, it is impossible. Who are we? And therefore, we need to consider our Lord. Yeah, this is the point. Out of ourselves, from ourselves, it is impossible to reach anything. Therefore, in these verses, the Lord says, before chapter 3, in the last two verses, He emphasizes that the Lord, the high priest, that came for us, and who suffered, and who was tested, and who can help. He's our help. He's our Savior, our salvation. And He brings us into everything that the Lord has done for us. And because it is impossible for us, He says, therefore, holy brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The way is not that we, out of own strength, out of what is in us, try to reach something. This is not the way. We have many examples that it doesn't work. The angels failed. The people of God failed. It needs the high priest. Without the high priest, we cannot go forward. Without the high priest, we cannot reach the goal. And the purpose of God, we cannot fulfill it without the high priest. It's impossible. And many tried, and they all failed. Also the religion tried for a long time. If you look into religion, there's no overcoming, no salvation. Yeah, and of course no glory. There is nothing and no one who is capable for the purpose of God. And therefore it says here, yeah, we shall consider the high priest. The only way how we can go on with the Lord today is and to really grasp this goal of God for us, that we consider Him. This is the only way. And that's why we have Him. And that's why He came for us. We need the high priest. He's not just our savior. Yeah, he was our savior. Yeah, we were all saved by him, and he saved us from sin and eternal condemnation. But it's not good enough that we stand in the purpose of God. It needs much more salvation, even salvation to the uttermost. That's why we are here, right? We want to be saved to the uttermost. And therefore, we need this high priest. And what are we looking at in our daily living? Onto the circumstances, onto ourselves, onto our capability the knowledge we have. Here it says, we shall consider, put our whole focus in the German translation, unto the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So in these past 2 weeks, I read this chapter again and again, and much more. I didn't really read in the Word, and I didn't came further than the first 6 verses, because it's already so rich and great. It's hard to grasp it. But it is such an important foundation for us today, and the only way that we have today to go on, that we would know the high priest. It's the only way, and that we consider only him. This is the only way we have. Because it is about maturity. We all have made a start, and it's behind us. But Hebrews also tells us, we shall go on and reach maturity in chapter 6, right? And in order to reach maturity, it needs the high priest. Otherwise, we have no way. Yeah, many had a good start with the Lord. Yeah, over the past thousands of years, the Lord saved so many, and many were running and started. But who has reached the goal? And who was perfected? If we see in Revelation in the churches, they have all fallen. They all went back even. They became Babylon. And what was the reason? The high priest, they didn't consider the high priest that was shown in chapter 1 of Revelation, right? He was outside and knocking on the door, but they didn't let him in. They have many works, many things they do, but they don't consider the high priest. They don't experience the high priest as their living person who cleanses them, who transforms them, who saves us, yeah. And that's what it is about today. It is not about that we know this word and we understand it, but it is about knowing the Lord, knowing the high priest, experiencing the high priest. We shall go on from the word of the beginning and reach maturity. Amen. And that's why we have to look onto Jesus. Hebrews 12 also says, look onto him. He's the author. He's our author. But not only our author, he's also our finisher. Praise the Lord for that. He wants to perfect us. And he himself has reached a goal already, and he wants to perfect us. And for us, there is only one way to be perfected, if we look onto him. And if we know him. If we don't know him, and we don't let ourselves be saved from him, if we don't consider him and put our whole focus onto him, then there is no way to be perfected. Even if we know the whole word, we know everything, we even keep everything according to the law, even then you cannot be perfected. If you don't know him, and if we don't look unto him, every one of us personally, It's not a word for, not a general word, but it is a personal word. Everyone has to know him and consider him. And this is our way today, how the Lord can perfect us. He's the only one who can really bring us, lead us to the goal. No one else and nothing else. We need him because he can help us in every situation, in all things, without exemption. There's nothing, no reason why we could not consider him. Even if you're learning or studying, problems in the family, with sin, with the own will, with the heart, so many things. But really, consider him. And it says, therefore. Why? Because he can help us. And he wants to perfect us. This is the main burden tonight. Because if we do that, then the Lord can go on with us. And we with him. And the Lord can save us. Amen. Because he is the captain of our salvation. He goes before us and he wants to save us to the uttermost. Many times we tend to seek help from man. It is easy to go to man. They are many times closer to us, right? And it's actually a shame to say that many times they are closer to us than the high priest who is in us, who suffered for us, who was tested for us, who wants to help us in all situations, who is always there day and night, who intercedes for us day and night, to whom we can come all times, but still we don't do it. How many times do we go to him? How many times do we put our whole focus onto him? He's always there, and he waits. He perfected everything, accomplished everything, but still many times we don't come to him and we go to man, and we hope that we would receive help from him, but man cannot help us. Only him, he can lead us to the goal. Even Moses could not lead the people of God to the goal. Not even Moses. No one. Joshua could not bring them into the real rest. Only the Lord himself only. He's the one who can lead us to the goal. So if you want to reach the goal, if you have a burden to be perfected, then, and we have to put our whole focus onto him. If we have a problem, many times we seek men, we seek for advice, for wisdom, for an interpretation in the Word, for a help regarding the children. And the Lord really exhorted me many times. We don't have even a single book to how to raise our children at home. Right? We don't need it because the Lord lives in us. He's our help. To him do I have to go? To whom do I have to go if I need help? To a book? To man? To the wisdom of man? No, we have to put our focus in all things onto the Lord, our high priest. We learned to hear men, and we are impressed by their teaching, from what they speak. But did at any time save you what a man have spoken? Yeah, in some situations, yes, man can help us outwardly, but many situations, no man can help you to overcome. If in the past, when I had an exam, the brothers and sisters, they helped me, they prayed for me, and they supported me, Philip and Toby helped me with mathematics, and they really helped me. But then, when I was sitting there in the exam, I was alone. No one could help me. I had to write it myself. And it's been a while, but I'm glad that it's over. But we have different exams, yeah, not only university. There is much we have to overcome, and man cannot help us. We can support each other, and we are examples for one another, and we need each other for that, and it is really precious, because alone we cannot go on. We need each other, and that's why the Lord gave us each other. We all pursuing one goal, and we support us. So we support each other by sharing the word to each other, encourage one another, help one another. And it's really precious, but still, it is not us who can help each other. Sometimes I would really like to help. You see here and there a lacking, and you want to help, but you know, you cannot help. You cannot change the situation. No, it's the opposite. Yeah, many times it gets worse. You go there, you talk a lot and a long time, and eventually it got worse. So that's many times my experience. Can we help others? It's difficult. The Lord is the only one who can help us. And therefore, we have to go to Him and to come to Him if we need help. And we need lots of help. We need lots of salvation. And this really has to go into our heart. In our daily living, many times it's different. How fast are we worried, and we have a lot of thoughts, and we speak with one another, and we disregard the help of the Lord. In Hebrews shows He can help us, because He was tested in all things the same way as us, but without sin, without mistakes. He knows all things. He went successfully through all testings. So it's not the point that He cannot help us or He doesn't want to help us. The Word even shows us day and night He intercedes for us. Day and night. That means His burden or His desire and His support is always there, but we don't come to Him. We don't come to Him to let us be saved. And this is a big problem. And therefore, many times we actually have to learn to consider Him. Because He is the only way. Also, our knowledge cannot help us. We know the Word very well. You can learn it very quickly. But what is your experience? Can you also keep it as quickly as you learn it? I learned the Word very quickly. Half a year in the church, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about the truth very quickly. But after I don't know how many years, I'm still lacking to do the Word and to keep it. Speaking and having fellowship, I can do that and explain. It's not a problem. I can do that to everyone who comes. But to keep it, that's a different story. So knowledge doesn't help. Yeah, knowledge alone doesn't help. Because it is not only about the Word, it is about the person. It is not only the letter, the Word as the letter, as the truth, but it is also about the person, the high priest. And these two come together. The Word and He, lives in us and we read the word and the Lord who lives in us, these two come together and then it becomes our experience. So sometimes you think you know and then still unconsciously you take the checkbox, you're like, but actually you didn't enter into the experience. And therefore the Lord many times sends us experiences and exposes us how few experience we have with the word. Yeah, sometimes I hear the word in the meeting and next day I have a situation and I realize I don't have the reality. But we can take the word and tell the Lord, Lord, guide me into the reality of your word. And therefore it is so important today, and probably since ever, we men, we tend to be satisfied if we know it, if we understood, if we can talk about something, speak about something, if we know the word. But this is not what it is about. We shall not be satisfied if we understood something, or we think we understood something. We need the experience of the Lord in all situations. So the word is there that we would come to him, because he himself is the word. If we come to the word, we come to him, and we want to receive help from him. The people of God back then, they had the word. They had the law. They knew the law, the Ten Commandments. But could the word help them? Did it help them? They had the wonderful word, which no other people had, and this glory. But eventually, they were worse than the nations. It didn't help them. Eventually, it was a shame. They worshipped the idols and tested the Lord. So knowledge is one thing, but our conduct is the other thing. So knowledge cannot help us. It will not save us. And the word in one place says, at the end of the times, knowledge will increase. Today, there is so much knowledge. Everywhere. You go into the internet and you find so much knowledge about the Word of God. But how many overcomers does the Lord have in the end? How many faithful does the Lord have in the end? Who stand with him? There's so many who know a lot, but there are just a few who really overcome and have experienced the Word and were faithful to the Lord until the end. Therefore, we shall not trust into the knowledge. We should trust into the Lord. Come to him and consider him. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. And this is so precious. The Lord is faithful. He's the faithful one. We are not faithful. We men, we are not faithful. No one of us is faithful. We are unfaithful. But the Lord is the faithful one. So, faithfulness, we need it until the end. If we are not faithful till the end, we cannot reach the goal. But out of ourselves, we are not faithful. So every one of us has a certain point when he becomes unfaithful. In the beginning, we are very enthusiastic. Praise the Lord, it's good. when we taste this, the salvation of the Lord, and we go on with the Lord, like with the people of God, in the beginning, they were very enthusiastic, and they left Egypt, went through the Red Sea, and think about the song of Miriam. Wasn't it glorious, full of praise, full of jubilee? Yeah. But what did Miriam do later? She was murmuring, and she was rebellious. Yeah. There was something she didn't like, and it was already over. That's how we are. We are not faithful. We are unfaithful. And only the right situation, so to speak, or the wrong situation has to come, and then we give up. And then we go away if someone comes too close to us, if there's something we don't want to give up. So many examples, which we all know and have seen, then we're not ready to go on anymore. And this is, we're not qualified from ourselves. We cannot be faithful to the Lord. We cannot follow Him until the end. We all have a certain point where we give up and we draw back. We don't want to go on anymore. This is our fallen man, our fallen nature. We love, and we love the world. We consider other things higher than the Lord. And that's how it is. And then we give up. Therefore, we have to appreciate that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He was faithful in God's whole house. So being faithful is not something we can learn. It's the Lord Himself. It's a person. We need Him. If we don't have Him, and if we don't come to Him, and if we don't experience Him, then we will become unfaithful. We need the Lord as our faithfulness. He is the faithful one. Yeah, look, the Lord, when He was on this earth, no circumstance could take Him away from the plan of God, no matter what came. You know these things. You know what the Lord has gone through. He was disregarded, despised, misunderstood, but He did not go astray. He said, "You have gave me a body to do Your will." And at any time, He was focused on the purpose of God. He suffered, He was tested, crucified, despised, but He stayed faithful. He was not like, okay, good enough. No, he was faithful till the end. And that's why we need Him. If we don't take Him, we will start to murmur about the circumstances. Why me? Why this and that? Why does He speak about me in such a way? Why do I have to go through this? Why did the Lord put me into this situation? There's so many things. And we start to murmur and to complain. So quickly we become unfaithful. Therefore, we need the one who is faithful in us. So in the past time, it came up in me that I wanted to complain. But the Lord said, "You have to come to me. Take me. It's not you. I cannot be faithful. I have to take the Lord. He's the faithful one. In all things, He stayed faithful. He remained faithful." We have to appreciate that. So quickly, we are distracted. We are being distracted. Today, we are for the Lord. But tomorrow, already, we love the world again. What are we busy with? What has the Lord shown us? And how quickly are we just somewhere distracted? The Lord wants to build His house with us. But we are on a different construction side, yeah? So quickly. It is so quickly not faithful. The Lord was always there, always in the unity with the Father, always took care of about the house. And so quickly we are just distracted somewhere. Yeah, just somewhere. And something is coming and we give up. And faithfulness is also regarding, yeah, not only personally, but that the Lord would perfect us, but it's also regarding the house of God. It says here, Moses was faithful in his whole house. So what the Lord does is he builds the house of God. Later, it is written, we are his house. So today, what the Lord wants to do, he wants to build his house. He wants to build Zion, and that's where he is faithful to the Father. So the faithfulness is not only about us, but it is also about his house. Like Moses, he was faithful over his house. Moses built a tabernacle. He went onto the mountain and he did everything exactly how God has showed him. It was only a booth, but he was faithful in all things. Also David was faithful over his whole house. And today the Lord is faithful over his house. He wants to build his house with us today, and it is not so easy. Look at Solomon and David. They could use ships and bring in the materials and build the house. They collected stones and wood and gold and whatever what was needed to build the house. But today, Peter says, today the house is not built from earthly materials but from living stones. And this is not so easy because we are, we are always somewhere running around. And how does the Lord then build his house? This is the problem with the living stones. They have to be focused onto the building up of this house. And that's why it is so important that we put all of our focus onto the Lord, that we would be faithful against God and his house. It is not being faithful towards men or organizations. This is, yeah, there are men, many times I heard that. I am born in this church and I will stay here until the end. And this is the church. Yeah, you can say this is faithfulness, yes, in a sense. But this is not faithful towards God. We see here that he was faithful towards God. Christ is faithful as Son. So faithfulness is not towards men or organizations, but it is towards the living God. We shall be faithful to him. And our whole heart belongs to him, our whole faithfulness. It doesn't belong to a thing. If the Lord is not here, then I cannot stick to this thing. I have to follow the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, yeah. And then it continues in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice. This is so important. Today when you hear his voice. So how do you want to be faithful, or how do we want to be faithful to the Lord if we don't hear His voice? Right? No chance. It's impossible. So we have to hear the voice of the Lord. Today, when you hear His voice. But only to hear His voice is also not good enough. Then it says here, do not harden your hearts in verse 8, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. The Lord speaks a lot and many times. And how does the Lord speak to us? The Lord doesn't speak to us in a way we speak to each other. We heard in the meeting, the Lord doesn't speak in a way that I hear it with this ear I have. Or is it your experience? No, the Lord speaks differently. The Lord speaks to our heart. Here it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, so the Lord speaks by the anointing. He speaks by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. In our hearts, there is the conscience, and there is the Spirit, and that's how the Lord speaks to us. And this, the problem of the heart is that it can be hardened. It is like if you're dull of hearing, if you're deaf, you don't hear anything. And here it says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in a day of trial in the wilderness. So today, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, if you want to hear Him, then the condition of our heart is the most important. If we don't hear the word, or we say we don't hear the word, the problem is that my heart is hardened. The Lord speaks, and the Lord is knocking onto the door of my heart, but my heart is so hard that I don't realize it. It doesn't sink in. It has no effect. If the earth is hard, the rain cannot go into it. Yeah, it will just flow away. And therefore, our heart is so important here. And these verses speak about our heart. It is really a warning. If the Lord speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And that's what they did back then. The Lord spoke. The Lord did miraculous things. The Lord testified. The Lord went on with them, but their heart was so hard. And then, in this example, they were murmuring. And they were fighting with Moses. They tested God. And rebelled against Him. The Lord goes on and does so many things. But because they hardened their hearts, they rebelled against God. When they had no water for a short time, after experiencing so much salvation, but still, immediately they rebelled because their heart was so hard. And it shows us the murmuring, unbelief, being unsatisfied, all these things, they come from a hardened heart. It is rebellion. They didn't rebel against Moses, but they were not murmuring against Moses, but against God. They rebelled against God because of their hardened heart. And the Lord, He brought in these circumstances in order to expose their hearts. He let it happen. And this is a warning for us. How much, or how is our reaction many times towards the Lord in many situations? How do we come to the Lord? And How do we appear before him? And how do we deal with many situations the Lord is giving us? So quickly we are murmuring. We are dissatisfied. We are complaining. We don't believe the Lord. We go to others, criticize. This is an evil heart of unbelief. And by doing so, we rebel against the Lord. This is our heart, the circumstance of our heart. Or we are distracted with the world. And here it says, or later, it says, the heart is hardened by sin. By sin, the heart is hardened through the world, through the distraction, all these things. Harden the heart. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin and the world and so many being so busy every day, that's what hardens our heart. Yeah, the Lord wants to speak to us, but our heart is hard. Instead of, yeah, the Lord can work on our hearts, we are murmuring, we are dissatisfied, we do this and that. And that's why we need the Lord deal with our hearts. We need to come to Him. And verse 10 it says, yeah, it says, they always go astray in their heart. And yeah, our heart is really so corrupted. I don't trust in my heart anymore. What sometimes comes out of my heart, it's therefore it is good that we go to the Lord and let Him deal with our hearts and let Him search our hearts. Dissatisfaction, unbelief, it comes out of a corrupted, hardened heart, and we need much salvation from it. Otherwise, we make the same mistake like the people of Israel. We are not different. It's really to warn us. It's written to warn us. Lord Jesus, yeah. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It is also faithfulness to be steadfast. I think it is even the same word, to be faithful and steadfast, the original word. This is being faithful. If we are faithful till the end with the Lord, then we are partakers of Christ. We became partakers of Christ. Amen. So therefore, let us, being saved richly by coming to Him, by being saved by Him, also, hidden desires harden our hearts. We don't know what, many times we don't know what kind of things are in our hearts. But the Lord exposed many things in me already, and it is good to let the Lord deal with it, to give it to the Lord, and to look unto the Lord, unto His promises. Amen. So this is one thing, but the other thing is that we need to seek the Lord. Today when the Lord speaks, so it needs an active decision to seek the Lord. Moses went unto the mountain to seek the Lord. And the Lord revealed Himself to him. He said, I speak to Moses face to face. Today it is important that we seek the Lord. It is not good enough just to seek the Lord one time. you know, you have to seek the Lord again and again. Again and again, the Lord has to reveal to me what kind of a goal He has with me. If this isn't again and again new in my heart, then other things come in. Then offenses, and the offenses become bigger and bigger as what the Lord wants to do. And therefore, many times, I go to the Lord, Lord, You have to appear to me newly. You have to show me newly. You have to speak to me. Give me inward revelation in my heart. Everything else has to become small. But the purpose of the Lord that we have seen this morning, it has to become great in our hearts, and even greater and greater. But it only becomes great and if we keep it great. If we go to the mountain with the Lord again and again, and the Lord has to appear to us, and He has to show us more and more. He has to speak to us, and we have to hear His voice. It is important. Otherwise, we will not reach the goal. Like it is written in Revelation, the overcomers, or the first fruits, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. We have to seek the Lamb again and again. Otherwise, so quickly, we are distracted. Amen. Verse 14. We are partakers of Christ. We've become partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. To the end. Amen. We all have this this beginning of our confidence. Otherwise, we would not be here. But we have to hold fast to it until the end. And the Lord has to speak more richly to us. We have to know Him even more, seek Him even more, and really put our whole focus onto Him. And that's how the Lord will preserve us. When I read this chapter, I thought, why isn't the failure of the people written in the beginning? And then it says how the Lord saves. But no, in the beginning it is written, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession Christ, because this is the foundation. If we do that all the time, if we look unto Him all the time and come to Him, He can preserve us. And then we will not make the same mistakes as the people of Israel, but then the Lord can lead us to the goal and deal with us. Thank the Lord. Amen. Tonight, this point, I really like this point that we are faithful to the Lord. Faithfulness is towards the Lord and not towards anything else. And still, there's a second point that was emphasized when it comes to faithfulness in chapter 3 of Hebrews. It is the house of God. Moses is, we see Moses there who was so faithful and did so many things in his house. And Christ is faithful in his own house, which we are. And when the brother was sharing, I thought, yeah, it is really practical that we are faithful to the Lord. It is such a privilege not only to be alone somewhere, but to be in His house and to serve in His house, to serve faithfully. And in this past time, I realized the Lord has to change the attitude of my heart, that I would not think, oh, some things is not really worth something to do it in His house. Moses did so many things to built this earthly tabernacle. And today, we have this privilege to be part of the building of God's house in many localities. And it says one day, in Psalm 84, it says one day in your outer courts is better than somewhere else. Yeah, that's verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Yeah. And somehow the Lord touched me tonight. Also, in these things, the Lord wants to see if we are faithful towards God and His house. And it is wonderful that we have this privilege to serve in His house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. This verse is really central. In Hebrews, actually, there's only one main point, and this is again and again, look unto Him. Yeah, put your whole focus. I like, as it says there, our whole focus in the German translation, because we live in a time of distraction. A while ago, I heard from somebody, his wife is a psychologist, and he said, people today, they cannot focus anymore. Through this cell phone, it's not a smartphone, it's not smart. Through this cell phone, they are so distracted, and then again and again, the focus is changing onto something new. All the time, you cannot focus on one thing anymore. And Hebrews brings us to the point. We need one thing. We need to learn to set our whole focus onto Him. And it says here, in the English version, it says, yeah, as He said, fixing your eyes on Jesus. So you cannot look away anymore. That's how our heart has to be. We need to have a seeking heart. Whenever you were distracted from Him, it has to, there has to be a reaction in us. Where is my Lord? Where has He gone? I need Him again. And Hebrews encourages us, put your whole focus onto Him. And if we don't do that, how can the Lord tell us what we have to build? How do you want to build the house of the Lord? It's not working. It doesn't work. If you don't listen to what the Lord is telling you, and after 5 minutes you run away, how do you want to follow what the Lord tells you? So this whole focus, this word, it also means you need to spend time with Him. You need to spend time with Him. And we shall not let anything take away this time with the Lord. There's no other way to reach the goal than to spend much time with the Lord, so that the Lord can show us how He wants to finish His house. And that's why I like this verse in Hebrews, that the epistle of Hebrews again and again reminds us, put your whole focus on to Jesus. And one more point, what I really appreciate in Hebrews. Hebrews shows the angels in the beginning, but says, but look unto Jesus. Then the Hebrews speaks about Moses and says, but says, we have someone who is higher than Moses. And then Hebrews speaks about the apostles, but then it says, we have one apostle of our confession, Jesus. And then there's Aaron, but the whole high priest is Jesus. So you see, we have no other way to reach the goal. There's only one who can bring us there. And therefore, we have to love Him and seek Him even more. I got to know many people who unfortunately became distracted by any apostles or by any angels they saw. Religion is full of it. Full of it. In every corner today, you can find something. like an appearing or whatever. But, you know, the only thing we have in mind is we look onto the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. And this is how we reach the goal with the Lord. Therefore, in this time, let us again and again look unto Him. Also in the whole meeting, our whole focus has to be focused on the high priest of our confession. So let us encourage one another to seek the Lord. We have to seek the Lord even more intense, not just here and there. It's not good enough. Sometimes in my heart there is a, I don't know how to describe it, an emptiness or like a hole, yeah. Because I realize I didn't spend enough time with the Lord, and then the Lord calls me to spend time with Him, but then many times it's already too late. So it's better, even earlier, to stick to the Lord, to stay with the Lord. So also the young people, it is good to learn to seek the Lord even when you are still young. When you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is seek the Lord. So when I get up from the bed and I sit there on my bed, the first thing I do is I seek the Lord. It's my first reaction. I cannot do anything else. So this is also good for you, young people. Learn that, to seek the Lord in the morning. Don't seek your smartphone, your cell phone. Seek the Lord first. Yeah, thank you. I had a living experience with setting our focus on our high priest. And in a service at the golden incense altar, it is so good, we don't look onto our problems, but we look onto Him. And I appreciate this word of the members of His body. Some of us is a mouth, and some of us is an ear and hears. And so He asks, Lord, did we pray for everything You want us to pray? Did we bind everything You want to bind? Did we loosen everything You want to loosen? Or is there anything else? And that's how we ask the Lord. And we consecrate our ear to Him. It's a two-way conversation. And sometimes it is good enough just to pray one sentence and to touch the Spirit, and it's good enough. Not go further, but yeah, just to come to the point with the Lord. And this is really a wonderful time before the Golden Incense Altar. These past 2 weeks in Zurich, the Lord teaches us how we fight against the enemy from Zion. And it was such a great joy to rebuke the enemy, so to speak, together with the Lord as the great high priest. Amen. And just to sing songs of victory, not just to tell the Lord all these problems, please take care of this and please take care of that, but to proclaim the Lord has already gotten the victory. First Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. First Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Yeah, that one be found faithful. That's the characteristic that the Lord seeks at the stewards and priestly servants. So it's amazing that in Hebrews 4, the Lord emphasizes this characteristics of Moses. He didn't say Moses was capable or had much talent or very smart. No, he was faithful in God's house as a servant. Moses was for sure very capable. 40 days on the mountain. And in all detail, he remembered the building of the tabernacle and the priest and all detail of the priestly service. But that was not what God impressed. But what God emphasized is that he was faithful in God's whole house. This is what God is seeking today. There are many capable persons, many who have many talents, also in the church. Yeah, you can give a message, very capable, wonderful, okay. But faithful? This is a different question, different thing. To be faithful to the speaking of the Lord, it's a different thing. So I really like, as it says here in chapter 3, Moses was faithful in all his house. But Christ is faithful as a son over his own house. So Moses was faithful, but Christ is faithful until the end. In his own house, all of us, he brings us into glory. So may we know him as the faithful one. Yeah, amen. I think we can stop here. May take a break. Take a break until tomorrow morning. Praise the Lord. And remember, tomorrow morning, we cannot park at this Kraft parking lot. So you need some time to walk here from wherever you park. Praise the Lord. We continue at 10 tomorrow morning.